Hello. My name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 189. I'm recording it on December 10th, 2009. The peak 10 level today is 20. That's not good. My thought would be you don't want to be going with a high stock allocation at today's prices. The music for the podcast is entitled Helium Binge. The title of the podcast is The Retirement Risk Evaluator. The Retirement Risk Evaluator is one of the four unique calculators provided at the PassionSaving.com website. And this is the one that caused all the trouble. This is the one the little book, I can't remember it. The Little Woman Who Started the Big War. This is the little calculator that started the revolution in stock investing. We're trying to revolutionize stock investing here at our understanding of how stock investing works here at PassionSaving.com. And it all started with safe withdrawal rates. A post I put to the Motley Fool discussion board back on May 13th, 2002. I remember that morning well. My boy, May 13th, 2002, my boy Robert had just been born. Robert was born March 13th. So, 2 months. I think that's one of the things that had sort of been holding me back. I had been concerned about the demonstrably false safe withdrawal rate claims that John Graney had been making for some time, and the smear campaigns that he was running against my fellow community members, using that study as a weapon, as a hatchet, to beat them over the head. And things had gotten worse and worse, and I had reached a point where I had more or less made a decision. I was going to have to come forward and tell people what I knew about safe withdrawal rates, and my boy was about to be born, and the pregnancy was a little complicated. It ended up not being bad, but I forget even now what my wife had. It was a big deal at the time, but he was like attached to the placenta or something, so there was an issue of, you know, all kinds of things. Anyway, yucky stuff you don't want to know about. But anyway, that all turned out fine. And then after he was born, I said, yeah, you know, it's time, my friend, stick your head into the noose. And by May 13th, 2 months later, we had gotten caught up enough on our sleep that I felt I would go ahead. So that's how this all got started. That's how all the investing material at PassionSaving.com got started. So this calculator is, we didn't have the calculator at that time. It started with just a question. I just said, do valuations affect safe withdrawal rates? And safe withdrawal rates, the amount you can take out of a portfolio each year in your retirement with virtual certainty that your retirement will not fail for 30 years. That's what a safe withdrawal rate is. It's the amount you can take out every year from your portfolio with virtual certainty that your portfolio will not fail for 30 years. So if you retire at 65, the thinking here is, you're almost certain that you're not going to live much past 95. So if your retirement plan is virtually certain, if you're not taking out more than what you can take out with virtual certainty of success for 30 years, you're in good shape. And the standard assumption they use in these studies is a high stock allocation. Usually they look at something like 70 or 80%. Now you can change that. You can look at different allocations. But usually when you hear the 4% number and you hear it all the time, that's what they're assuming. 70 or 80% stock allocation, a high stock allocation. And the old school studies, the studies that are analytically invalid, say that you can take out 4%, and that's safe. So if you had $1 million saved and you retired, you could take out $40,000 a year for 30 years and be virtually certain your retirement would survive. That's false, but that's the state of the art. Well, that was the state of the art on May 13th, 2002. It's not the state of the art today in any real sense. We've shown beyond any reasonable doubt whatsoever that those studies are analytically invalid, but those studies are still cited today. And And honest posting on this question has been banned pretty much throughout the internet. Not everywhere, of course, but everywhere I've tried, it has been banned, with a few exceptions. There are a few blogs that still permit honest posting, but generally smaller ones. But the large blogs have banned honest posting, and the large discussion boards and all this sort of thing. And I'm hoping that we will be able to get our right to honest posting on safe withdrawal rates and other important investing topics respected throughout the internet, and thereby bring this economic crisis to an end and help a lot of our fellow middle-class investors learn the realities of stock investing. The purpose this is the third podcast I've done on the calculators, and the idea of these podcasts on the calculators is to introduce you to them, not to say everything there is to know about them, but to introduce you to them. They're sort of for the new user. Some people, I have introductory materials there with the calculator. With all the calculators, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's introductory material. And you can read, you know, usually I have 10 basic questions and answers, and then maybe I have an article on strategies and this sort of thing. Usually the basic article, the article that appears with the calculator, talks a little bit about mechanics. But some people prefer to listen to material than to read it. So the purpose of the podcast is to put it in oral form. So I want to talk a little bit about mechanics, how to use the calculator, and then a little bit about the background, how we came up with it, what it's supposed to do, and then a little bit about the strategies that you can explore with the calculator. So this is a retirement calculator. Now, I've done... this is the third of these podcasts. I have one more to go. I did the one on the stock return predictor. That was number 169, I believe. And that's the most powerful tool. That's the most basic and most powerful tool. That tool would change the history of investing if we can get it in enough people's hands. Because if you have the stock return predictor, you know what your likely 10-year return is with stocks. You're not living in the dark any longer. The risk of stocks is dramatically reduced when you know your long-term return. And in order to know your long-term return, you have to look at valuations. You have to give up buy and hold investing and become a rational investor, rational investing model. The number 179, I've recorded these with nines so that I can remember them. Number 179 was... On the investor's scenario surfer, and that was a funny one. I enjoyed doing it. The investor's scenario surfer lets you run through a 30-year sequence of returns that is randomly generated, so you don't know in advance what's going to happen. And 9 out of 10 times, valuation-informed indexing beats buy and hold. But 1 out of 10 times, buy and hold wins. When I say that buy and hold never works, it doesn't mean that there's no chance that buy and hold will give you better numbers. Roughly one out of 10 times, it does give better numbers. But if a strategy only succeeds 1 out of 10 times, it's high risk. So I think it's fair to say buy and hold never works, quote unquote, because even when it gives higher numbers, it did so at much higher risk. So it's not really better. It's better looking backwards, but it's not better looking forward, because you're taking on this risk that there's a 9 in 10 shot the numbers are going to be worse. And only by a quirk do you end up with better numbers. But what I did on that podcast was I took a chance. I said I set up what I called a goon portfolio, 80% stocks, with rebalancing, but buy and hold. And I, you know, if that portfolio won, I would look sort of stupid, and the goons would laugh at me. And for a while there, it looked like they were going to win. I had a couple bad years. And got a little nervous. I said a prayer to my guardian angel, and my guardian angel came through for me, and it all ended up just fine. We ended up beating the goon portfolio by quite a bit, as I recall. I believe it was double or more. It was pretty big. But anyway, that was a fun one to do, because I went through year by year what happened, and then gave reactions. So this is the third, and the fourth one will be on the investments and the investment strategy tester. That'll be the one. I presume that's going to be number 199. So this one's the retirement risk evaluator. So it doesn't look at the general question of return. It looks at the general question of risk, particularly in retirement, though. So this is really for retirees, but it affects everybody, because even people that are very young, if you're 30, you're not going to retire anytime soon, but that's what you're investing for. So retirement is sort of in the back of every investor's mind. So in a direct sense, this calculator is for people planning a retirement. But all of us, in an indirect sense, are planning a retirement when we invest and when we save. Now, I probably should start with some mechanics. And I tend to skip over that because I, of course, know the mechanics. But that's usually what the new users most need to know because they're not familiar with it. So it makes perfect sense, but it's easy to skip over it when you already know it. My first thought is just, to find the calculator, please go to the website. And on the left side of every page, there's a bunch of tabs. And one of the tabs says Risk Evaluator. So just click there, and that'll get you to the calculator. And the title of the page where the calculator resides is Retirement Calculator Smashes Safe Withdrawal Rate Myths. It's the reporter in me coming out. Provocative little title. Now, underneath, I have the calculator itself is at the top where you enter the numbers and this sort of thing. And then underneath, there's some language. And that language is an overview. So, if you're new to the calculator, try reading that. It doesn't go into all the details you need to know. There might be something there not addressed, but most of it will be addressed there. 90% of your questions will be answered by that overview. If that overview doesn't do it for you, go to the bottom of that page, scroll all the way down, and there are some articles that are very helpful, I hope. The first article is titled, About Our Unique Retirement Planning Calculator, 10 Basic Questions and Answers. So I think that's a good one. That's sort of serves the same purpose as this podcast, but in written form. But that may answer your question. So usually when you're trying to understand something, my experience is it's the basics you have to understand. If you understand the basics, the details usually fall into place. Most of us get lost by, not having a sure grasp of the basics. That's something I believe very strongly. The second article is called Using the Risk Evaluator to Develop Retirement Planning Strategies. And that's one of my best articles, I believe. That's strategy oriented. Now, that's more advanced. It's not that basic, how to use the calculator stuff. That article really tells you why the calculator is of so much value. And if I have time in this podcast, I may go through those one by one. I'm not sure I'll have time. But I like that article a lot. I'd like to do more of those. I'd like to do more articles on strategy. And John Walter Russell loved those articles when we would have conversations. I think those were always his favorites. And for a while, I've held back from doing them because I like them, and I think readers like them. But they have great value. But I don't believe that I am the king of any of this stuff. So what I like to do is throw out my strategy ideas and then get feedback from other smart people, and you get a mix of opinions. I don't like people relying on Rob Bennett's opinion. That sort of gives me the creeps. It's not right. And so I don't like just sticking my stuff out there like, here's this grand poobah standing on a stage telling you how to invest. So I want to do that stuff. I want to share what I think, but I'd like to get a big group participating. So anyway, I've held off on some of those, but I broke down and did one here at the section of the site on the retirement calculator, and I think it was a good one, and I know John liked it as well. Then there's an article, The Experts Speak on the Risk of Holding Overvalued Stocks in Retirements. If you have any doubts about what the calculator, why is this calculator so different from all the other retirement calculators you've seen? And it is. There's no other calculator like this on the internet that I know of. That tells you why it's so different. The difference is very, very, very simple. Very, very, very important. Our calculator that John Walter Russell and I developed this together. We're co-creators. John did the statistical work. I am not a numbers guy, and I sort of came up with the idea for the calculator, and then the way I always put it is I ask lots of annoying questions. As he's developing the calculator, I say, well, what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and hopefully that adds to the, to the end result a bit, but it doesn't just slow it down. It slows it down for sure, but hopefully it adds something too. And I come up with the jazzy titles. That's also Rob's bailiwick. I come up with the jazzy titles for the calculators as a rule. The Experts Speak. The difference between this calculator and all the other retirement calculators you're going to find on the internet is this calculator includes an adjustment for valuations. So the valuation level that applies on the day the retirement begins. So these other calculators you can use, and there are lots of them. You know, FireCalc is the one I know about, Bill Scholler's calculator, but there are others. I think the big fund companies often have retirement calculators, I believe. I don't know for sure. Most of them do not adjust for valuations. So they'll tell you, you know, it's safe to take out $40,000. If you have $1 million, 4% is safe. If you have $1 million, if you retire with $1 million, that means you can take out $40,000 a year. Well, maybe, maybe not. If stocks are insanely overvalued at the time you retire, no way. That's dangerous as all get out. Another article. So that's the question you have to resolve. Our calculator is the same as the other calculators, except it includes a valuation adjustment. It has a couple other extra features that are just additions. But we use the same general methodology. We just include an adjustment for valuations. That's the thing but that's the biggest factor. You see, all the factors that are the same, you know, contribute to the result, but they're not dominant. But the dominant factor is whether you include valuations or not. That changes everything. And we include it, and none of the other calculators currently available on the internet do so. The next article is called Rise of the New School of Safe Withdrawal Rate Analysis. I haven't looked at that one in a long time. It's a collection of what I did was I collected, I think, about 8 blog entries on, all these battles between the old school and the new school, and I collected them into this article. So there's interesting stuff there. Not essential, but it's interesting. It's historically very interesting, and I think some good arguments. So if you're trying to understand it, that would help, but there's nothing there that's absolutely core, I wouldn't say. There's one called Community Comments on Using Stock Data to Diminish Retirement Risk, and that's, again, if you have doubts about the merit of the calculator, and doubts are skeptical, you know, please don't ever do anything just because I say so. Doubts are skeptical. You know, skepticism is good. But something you can read there, I think it helps. One of the reasons people believe in the old school calculators is because so many people use them. Something that shocks me. I don't know if it shocks me anymore, but it used to, is that something we discovered during the Great Debate is that the vast majority of people who use these calculators have no idea how the numbers are determined. None. You know, it became very clear during our discussions that part of the problem we had in persuading people that these calculators, these old school calculators, are so dangerous is that people don't even know how the numbers are calculated. So when you point out that it's wrong, they don't, it doesn't ring a bell because they don't know how it was calculated in the first place. So to say they calculated it wrong means nothing. What people are doing is they're saying, hey, lots of people here seem to think this calculator's groovy, so it's groovy, I'll use it. What people are trying to do, now I'm not making fun of people for doing that. I think I probably did it myself in the old days. What people are doing is they're looking for a shortcut. They're piggybacking on the knowledge of others. They're saying, it's sort of like, you know, you walk by a restaurant and you see a long line and you say, I've never read a review of this restaurant, I know nothing about it, but if there's a long line of people, the food must be good. They wouldn't be waiting in line if it wasn't good. So you get in line yourself. Well, that doesn't work with investing, because the way it works with investing is when stocks are not popular, the price of stocks is low and the long-term value proposition is just amazing. But when stocks are popular, as they were from 1996 through 2008, the price is insanely high and the long-term value proposition is terrible. So you have to not go with the crowd when it comes to stock investing. It's dangerous to go with the crowd. So one of the things I like to be able to do is to have a crowd advocating, you know, valuation-informed indexing and a crowd advocating rational investing strategies. So what I give you here is an article where a number of, I don't know how many I quote it, I don't know. I haven't looked at it in a while. But I quote community members who have said, yeah, you know, you have to look at valuations in order to calculate the safe withdrawal rate accurately. So if, you know, you're feeling sort of queasy saying, I don't know. It makes, you know, what Rob's saying makes all the sense in the world, but I don't know. It's just one guy, sort of weird. you can read this article and see, well, it's not just one guy. Lots of smart, good people understand that if you don't include valuations, you're going to get all the numbers wrong. Then the last article is called the Retirement Risk Evaluator 15-year version. And that's just a different version of the calculator. Then instead of going for 30 years, it goes 15 years. And the purpose of that is that you can attach it. If you want to go, some people might retire early. Say you retire at 50, and the main calculator only goes 30 years. It only tells you what's safe for 30 years. Well, 30 years from 50 would only get you to age 80, and you might be concerned you're going to live past 80, so your retirement's not really safe. You can add on the 15-year version, and then you have 30 plus 15 is 45 years, and from 50 that would get you to 95, so then you'd be okay. And my recollection is there are instructions at John's site as to how to connect the two calculators. And John's site is early-retirement-planning-insights.com. I should probably add those instructions over at my site as well. That would be a smart thing to do, but I've just never gotten around to doing that. Now, let me go to the calculator itself. I'm going to scroll up to the top of the page, and I'm going to look just at the mechanics, and I like to think it's self-explanatory, but I often find it's not. You know, people that design things think that they're being clear. People that have to use it, it's not so clear. So I'll try to I think if I explain why things are there, maybe it'll be clear how it works. It's not at all complicated. It's just, if you've never seen it before, it's just, you know, that's the way all things are. They're not clear until you know how to do them. What we have here, if you scroll to the top of the page, it helps if you're looking at the calculator when you're listening to this podcast. Title of the podcast of the calculators at the top, the Retirement Risk Evaluator. Then we have four scenarios, Scenario 1, Scenario 2, Scenario 3, Scenario 4. And under each of those four scenarios, we have four choices. There are basically four factors that we need to know about, we need to know in order to calculate the safe withdrawal rate. Now, I've told you what the safe withdrawal rate is. Just to make sure we're clear on the basics, I'm going to say it one more time. The safe withdrawal rate is the amount you can take out of your portfolio every year for 30 years and be virtually certain that the portfolio will survive that entire time period. So, you know, the old school calculators, you know, they're very simple in their result. Their result is 4% is safe. So what they say is if you go with an 80% stock allocation and you retire with $1 million, you can take out $40,000 a year. That's 4% of $1 million every year for 30 years and be virtually certain that your retirement will not fail for 30 years. You might get down to $1. You might have only $1 left, but you're not going to, it's not going to fail. Okay. The analytical error in those calculators is they do not include an adjustment for valuation. So what John found in his research is, you know, after I put up the post at Motley Fool and, you know, we had this big controversy, John did the research to find out what's the true story. And what he found was, yes, Rob is right. Valuations do indeed affect long-term returns. It's impossible to calculate the safe withdrawal rate without making an adjustment for valuations. So there is no one withdrawal rate. You can't say the withdrawal rate is 4%. That's foolishness. It's like saying that the safe withdrawal rate is always 4%. It's like a weatherman. It's like you're planning a picnic, and you say, you're planning a picnic, you know, in New York, you know nothing. Say you came from Mars, and you're planning a picnic in New York on February 1st, and you want to know if it's going to be nice weather for a picnic, and you go to the weatherman and you say, is it safe to have a picnic February 1st in New York? You know, we're going to be sitting out on the lawn, Central Park. We're going to have cheese and wine and this sort of thing, play a little softball. Yeah, I'm going to invite some people. And the weatherman looks at the, you know, he's got a little chart, and it says average weather temperature in New York. I have no idea what the average is. Let's just say it's the average high is 65. You know, if you add the summer months and the winter months, I have no idea what it is. And he says, well, the average temperature is 65. I'd say it's reasonably safe to have a picnic, February 1st. That should work. It might get a little chilly, might go down to 60, who knows? But, if people bring a sweater, they'll be okay. It might go up to 70, and then it'll be perfect picnic weather. So, yeah, the odds are very, very good here. Maybe not 100%, but very, very good. But the reality is on February 1st in Central Park, it might be 20 degrees. The snow might be blowing. It's not safe to have a picnic in Central Park. There are rare occasions where it's warm on February 1st. It happens. You could have a picnic, but the odds are not with you. Well, the same thing is true with retirements. On average, 4% is safe. That's a 100% correct statement. If you look at all the safe withdrawal rate numbers, at all the various valuation levels, the average, I believe, actually, the average would be more like 5%. It's closer to 5%. The average would be the safe withdrawal rate that applies at a P10 level of 14. Well, we actually have it right here. The safe withdrawal rate at a P10 level of 14, which is fair value for stocks, is 5.4. It's a little higher than 5. So at average valuation levels, you can take out not $40,000 a year out of a $1 million portfolio. You can take out $54,000 a year. Good bit more than 40,000. So 4% is certainly safe on average, without any question. More than safe. But if you happen to retire sometime between 1996 and 2008, no way, Jose. Dangerous stuff to be taking out 4% at those levels. So that's what this calculator does. It includes the valuation adjustment, so it gives accurate numbers for retirement planning instead of the inaccurate numbers in the old school studies. Now, the four scenarios, what I do with all the calculators is, John and I, is we provide default results. Default results are just, we enter results that, instead of having the calculator, a blank screen when you turn to it, that would sort of turn people off. We entered default results. And the default results allow you to see something without having to plug in any numbers. But then, of course, you're probably going to want to know what results apply to the scenarios you're most interested in. And to get that, you just enter in your own numbers, and then you hit calculate, and the numbers change. So first, I'll go over the default results. The calculator allows you to look at four different safe withdrawal rates all at one time. Now, the what's the reason for that? You only need one, right? You've only got one portfolio. Well, this is something that may not be obvious to people. I probably should have pointed this out. I don't think I pointed this out in the language underneath the calculator, but now that I'm thinking about it, it's a good point. Most calculators would probably only have one result. In other words, choose your stock allocation, the other things, and push a button, and it tells you the safe withdrawal rate. We don't do that. What we do is we let you set up four different scenarios. You can just do one if you want. You don't have to do four, but you can do four if you choose to. Well, the purpose is, this is huge, what I'm going to say. The power of safe withdrawal rate analysis is not knowing the safe withdrawal rate for your particular retirement. Certainly, that's important, and certainly you want to get that number right. But the real power here is comparing different results in different scenarios. That's where the power comes in, because that allows for strategic planning. I'll try to go into it more as we go on. But the point is, you don't want to know just one safe withdrawal rate. You don't want to say, well, here's my situation and that's all I need to know. What you want to know is, I'll just give an example. Say you plug in the numbers and say you were planning to retire sometime during the bubble years, 96 through 2008. And say you had $1 million, you're about to retire. 65, you want it to last 30 years, you want to be safe, and the safe withdrawal rate ain't four, you want to take out 40,000, but the safe withdrawal rate ain't 4% at those valuation levels. So you're like, what am I going to do? This is bad. I mean, I can't do what I want. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. Well, no, you can do what you want. You can't get a safe withdrawal rate of 4% during, those sorts of valuation levels with an 80% stock allocation. But one of the factors that we allow you to adjust with this calculator is the stock allocation. Well, first find out what your withdrawal rate is with 80% stocks, and it's somewhere around 3%. So you can take out $30,000, not $40,000. But if you try a lower stock allocation, that safe withdrawal rate number is going to zoom up. So what you do is you keep, you could enter four here. You could enter 80%, 60%, 40%, 20%, and see which of those, I'm not going to do it right now, but I could try it. Maybe I should try it. 80%, I'm going to enter 80% stocks, 60% stocks, 40% stocks, 20% stocks, and let's see. And I want all of the, for all four scenarios, I'm going to make the valuation level, the PE10 level, 26, which is about the average of what it was from 96 through 2008. It obviously varied, but that's roughly the average. I don't know what the average was, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So I'm going to see how the safe withdrawal rate changes depending on my stock allocation, okay? Now, at a... let me see what I got here. Yeah. Okay, I got it. At an 80% stock allocation, which is what the conventional studies look at, they say it's 4%. What the New School calculator says, the retirement risk evaluator says, is that the safe withdrawal rate at a 26 valuation level is 3.1, 31,000, not 40,000. You can take out of a $1 million portfolio, but now, scenario two, same valuation level, 26, but I lowered my stock allocation to 60%. Look what happens. The safe withdrawal rate zooms up to 3.5. Now I can take out 35,000. Okay? And even more exciting, I can move over one space on, you know, I'm now getting into the, you really have to be looking at this to understand what I'm doing. But if you go one space over, it tells you not the safe withdrawal rate, but the reasonably safe withdrawal rate. That's the withdrawal rate that is, as the safe withdrawal rate we define as the withdrawal rate that has a 95% chance of working out, very high. The reasonably safe has only 80%, but that's, you know, you might be willing to take that chance. You have a 1 in 5 chance your retirement's going to fail. Well, if you're willing to go with that 80% safe, the withdrawal rate goes by moving your allocation down to 60%. You moved your withdrawal rate from 3.1 to 3.5. By going from safe to only reasonably safe, you move it from 3.5 to 4.0. So now you achieved your goal. You wanted to take out 40,000. Now you can do it. But you have to go with a lower stock allocation. You have to get your stock allocation down to 60, and you have to be willing to accept a 20% chance of retirement failure. If you're willing to do those two things, the calculator tells you you can go ahead and retire. Now, say you're not willing to go to 80%, you're reasonably safe. You want to have a 95% safe retirement. That's as high as we can get you, because statistically, you can't go higher than that and have the numbers be right. There's always a chance of failure because we don't know every possibility that might come up. Okay, scenario three tells you what the safe withdrawal rate is if you drop to a 40% allocation. Now it's up to 3.8. So now you can have a 95% safe retirement and take out 38,000. You're almost to your goal. And then if you go down to 20% stocks, your withdrawal rate goes to 3.9. So that's about as close as you can get, 3.92. So for practical purposes, you're up to 4%. So the point is, you can compare different possibilities and thereby make strategic choices. What valuation level do I want to go with? How much risk do I have to take to be able to take out 40,000. And then you can sit back and ask yourself, okay, I can get to 40,000 with a 40,000 takeout if I'm willing to go with 60% stocks and I'm willing to go with 80% safety. But you might say, well, I don't want to do that. And then you can look and say, well, how many more years do I have to work so that I can have 95% safety? Or how many more years do I have to work so that I can go with 80% stocks, which is more risky than 60% stocks? In other words, this calculator allows you to check out all these questions, hundreds and hundreds of possible strategic questions. It's an endless source of, you know, as many questions as you can think up, that's how many questions it'll answer, pretty much. That's how we designed it. So that's the real power of safe withdrawal rate analysis. And all of that power was lost when the old school studies failed to take valuations into account. Because when you don't take valuations into account, you get one number. You know, 4% is all you get. And, you know, sometimes that's insanely risky. Sometimes it's super safe. Sometimes it's barely safe. Who knows? It could be anything. You're taking the most important factor in stock investing out of the analysis. And that's not smart. That's why I believe these studies should be corrected. All right. So I want to go back and just go point by point through, you know, what's here on the page when you look at the Retirement Risk Evaluator at the PassionSaving.com website. All right, four scenarios. Scenario 1, 2, 3, and 4. Under each of those scenarios, there are four inputs. There's the first input, and that's the first input is called PE10. And a lot of people don't even know what PE10 is. I wish that weren't true, but unfortunately it's true. PE10 is the valuation metric we use. You can't understand stock investing without understanding the effect of valuations on long-term returns. It's impossible. The whole idea of the switch that I recommend from buy and hold to rational investing is you have to, but the only difference between the two models is buy and hold ignores valuations, rational investing includes valuations in the analysis. And that makes all the difference in the world. Makes a huge difference. So you have to have some number to plug in there to indicate what the valuation level is on the day the retirement begins. This is the valuation on the day the retirement begins. If you're not yet at retirement, you obviously can't enter in. You don't know what it's going to be. But what you can do is you can enter possibilities. You can say, well, I don't know what it's going to be, but let me check the possibilities. You know, maybe it'll be 8, maybe it'll be 14, whatever. And check all four of them. You know, check four of them at a time. If you want to check 8, check 4, and then check 4 more. You can check all the possibilities. So that first number is the PE10 value. PE10 is the price of the index over the average of the last 10 years of earnings. So in the default results, we look at four PE10 levels. An 8, scenario 1 is an 8. That's a very low valuation level, half of fair value, will probably be going that low in the next few years. That's a half of fair value. Ordinarily, well, actually every time in history, but we don't know for sure it's going to happen this time, but every other time it has. Whenever we go to insanely high valuations, in the years following, we go to insanely low valuations. If we were to go to insanely low valuations over the next 3 or 4 years, we would be dropping. Today we're at a P10 level of 20. We'd be dropping to a P10 level of 7 or 8. So perhaps loss of 2/3 stock price over the next few years. I can't guarantee that's going to happen. The historical record says it always has. We only have three completed cases on record. There's four times we've been to 26, which is insane. Insane valuation. The first three times we dropped to 7 or 8, and the fourth time we don't know yet. We're still working it out. If we drop to 8, these are the numbers that will apply for safe withdrawal rates. So scenario 1 is the low valuation scenario. Scenario 2 is a P10 level 14. That's fair value. That's just the norm. It doesn't always apply, the norm, but if it did, that would be, you know, that's sort of what should apply. Let's say the rational P10 level. Scenario 3 is 26, and that's roughly the average PE10 level that applied during the insane years, 96 through 2008. And, there was no one number that applied, but 26 is basically when you get to an insane valuation. And then 26 is almost double fair value. Fair value is 14, so 28 would be double. And then scenario 4 is 44. That was the highest we've ever seen. That was January of 2000. That's triple insane. And so those are the four results we give you for default purposes. The second, and if you see the box there, you can just enter whatever P10 level you want. So if you want to see what happens at a P10 level of 10, just go into the box, any of those four boxes, and delete the number that appears there and replace it with a 10. Then go down and hit calculate. Calculate underneath all the boxes, there's a little box marked calculate, and that's what makes the calculator run. Now the second input is called tips real return. And again, a lot of people aren't going to know what that stands for, unfortunately. But what that is tips stands for Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. I use tips as the, let's call it the risk-free return available to investors. So tips are issued by the government. They're inflation-protected bonds. They have a government guarantee. So if tips fail, the U.S. government fails. So that's about as safe as it gets. And they're inflation-protected, so you don't have to worry about losing your money to inflation. I have tips that pay 3.5 real. They're not available today. I don't know what the tips rate is today. I'd say the average tips rate is probably somewhere around 2% real, maybe a little higher than that, not too much. The highest I recall seeing was 4% real at the top of the bubble. And at one time, it probably went down to 1% real, or perhaps a little less than that. So the tips rate varies. Usually when I'm just looking for an average sort of result, I plug in either 2, sometimes 2.5. You could argue for 3. It doesn't have to be tips. I don't think people always understand this. I call it the tips real return, but it could be anything. In other words, it's just a safe asset class. Say that you have certificates of deposit. You don't like tips, but you have a certificate of deposit available to you that provides a real return of 3% real. Say that it returns a return of 6%, and you believe the inflation rate is going to be roughly 3%. So you subtract 3 from 6, and you've got 3, and your real return is 3. Well, then plug in 3 there. It's the purpose of that number is we have to be able to calculate the return on the money you don't have in stocks. And so that's the return you're going to get from money that's not in stocks. And whatever number you want to plug in, you plug in 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. I think it allows all those. Let me just look. It's a pull-down menu, so you have to click it. Yes, it allows anything. Well, it allows from 1 to 3. I think John didn't want to go higher than 3 because I would have voted for going up to 4. But there was a time when tips paid 4% real. But I agree that those times are probably never coming back. That's an insanely high return for a super safe asset class. So I don't know. We ended up going from 1 to 3. So those are your choices. Stock allocation. You can choose, again, it's a pull-down menu. You can choose an allocation from 20% up to 100%. And you can also use switch option A or switch option B. John defined that. I don't know the definitions of the switch options anymore. I used to. John defines them at his website somewhere. Switch options are basically a predefined set of rules, like what you'd be doing if you use the switch option is you'd have one allocation when valuations are at such and such a level, and then a different allocation when they went to a lower level or a higher level. See, the PE10 level you're entering is not the PE10 level that's going to apply for the entire 30 years. It's the PE10 level that's going to apply at the beginning. But if you have gains, that PE10 level will be going up over the course of your retirement. It doesn't change the safe withdrawal rate. But if you switch your allocation, that changes the safe withdrawal rate. Because if your starting PE10 level is a good PE10 level, say your starting PE10 level is 14, you can go, your safe withdrawal rate is going to be pretty high. But if say that returns then go to the moon, and the PE10 level goes up to 44, like it did in January 2000, well, if you stick with that same stock allocation, the same safe withdrawal rate applies. It doesn't change it. But if you switched your allocation down when valuations went up, that would obviously give you an advantage because you'd be protecting your portfolio at times of high risk. So that would bring your safe withdrawal rate up. So the switch options are intended to tell you If you're willing to follow a valuation-informed indexing strategy, what your safe withdrawal rate would be. They're not sticking with one allocation through. That's a little complicated, I understand, but if you play with it a little bit, I think you'll get it. But that's what that's intended to do. That's for the more sophisticated users. I wouldn't be checking the switch options my first time through. But we wanted to include that so people had as many options as possible. The fourth input is called year 30 percentage balance. And again, many people are not going to know what that is, unfortunately. But it's actually a very important feature in this calculator. I'm very proud of that feature. And because it's not available in most other calculators that I know of. What that is these conventional safe withdrawal rate studies, they make an assumption that I think is dangerous and inappropriate. And the assumption is they tell you what withdrawal rate will work. It's dangerous and inappropriate, but not analytically invalid. The valuation question, the mistake they make on valuations is analytically invalid. That's just flat out an error. What they do with the 30-year percentage balance is not an error. They're reporting accurately the number, so it's not an error. But I think it's dangerous. I think it's a dangerous assumption. So let me go through why. What they do, and many people don't realize this. Many people here, they say, "Oh, safe withdrawal rate 4%," and they, you know, safe, and they think that prudent people are designing these studies, and I don't think that's really true. And they may be prudent people as general, but when it gets to stocks, emotions get the better of them, and they're not so prudent anymore. But the assumption used in these studies is that you might start with $1 million, and you take out $40,000. What they're telling you is, even if their valuation assumptions were correct, which they are not, but just give them the benefit of the doubt. Say that they were. They're not saying that you're going to have $1 million and take out $40,000. They're saying your $1 million portfolio may be reduced down to like $1 or $10 or $100 or $1,000. In other words, your retirement might survive by a whisker. Okay? But they're saying if it goes from $1 million down to $1,000, but then it comes back and it never goes to zero, so when you retire, I don't know, you have $100,000 left or $200,000 or whatever, something more than zero, then they say that retirement worked. Now, I don't really agree with that. I mean, in some technical sense, the retirement, quote-unquote, worked. It didn't run out of money. In the real world, it would not have worked. Because in the real world, if you started with $1 million and your balance went down to, you know, $20,000 or $100,000, you're going to sell your stocks. You're not going to hold when you've lost $900,000. No way, no how. I don't think anyone alive has ever done it. So it's in my opinion, that's a wildly implausible assumption and a dangerous assumption. And it's not analytically invalid. I don't think it's as bad as the valuation assumption. I can't say it's false, but what I would say is it's ill thought out, ill considered, ill chosen. Well, we don't do it that way. Now, what John and I could have done was instead of having the portfolio balance go down to zero, and I think that we sort of debated these things. I think we had some inclination to say, no, let's keep the balance at 100%. In other words, let's find out the better way to do it is not to have your portfolio go to zero. The better way is to keep your portfolio balance at 100% of what it was when you started. See, the bad thing with having it go to zero is you have no slack at all. If you make any mistake, including selling stocks at any point, which they would characterize as a quote-unquote mistake, but is it really a mistake if you've lost 90% of your life savings to sell? It's just human nature. I don't think you can call human nature a mistake. But if you make any mistake, you lose. Game over. And that's a foolish way to put a retirement plan together, because in retirement, you're very vulnerable. You're not working. You don't have money coming in. You need this money to live on, and you're getting older. You may not have the energy to be studying all these things and all this sort of thing. And there's going to be gloom and doom stuff in the papers, you know, if stocks are going down. I don't think you should be putting all your retirement hopes on this assumption that if things go to zero and you barely get by in a whisker, that that's a good retirement plan. I'd say that's poor retirement planning, dangerous retirement planning, foolish retirement planning. So something John and I could have done, I don't know how much, we gave some consideration. We could have plugged in what happens. We could have said it's really safe if you get to keep your portfolio balance, okay? Keep it at 100%. In other words, how much can you take out and still have a million at the end of 30 years? And that way, if something went wrong, you wouldn't have a million at the end of 30 years, but maybe you'd have 800,000. Well, in other words, you'd have slack built into your plan. I think that's a good idea. But I don't really think it's, there's several reasons why we didn't want to do it. One, I'd like these numbers to be comparable to the numbers in the old school studies so that people can see how dangerous the old school studies are. And if we put in 100% assumption, they're no longer comparable. We've sort of got to go with the assumptions they use in the conventional studies and then calculate the numbers accurately according to that same basic framework. But by having a pull-down menu, we let you choose. The default is we use the zero assumption. But you don't have to go with that. You can just use that pull-down menu and you can say, well, I want 10% of my balance to remain. I want a tiny bit of slack. Or I want 50%. I want a good bit of slack. Or I want 100%. I don't want to lose a penny. And then hit calculate and it'll give you the answer. And again, you can learn some fascinating stuff with the ability to do that because well, maybe I can do it. It's probably always more persuasive. Instead of just talking, I demonstrate it with the calculator, but I can see I'm going to run short of time, as I always do. So I can't do too much of this, but I'm going to do it on this because I find this interesting. Zero. Let's see. Zero. 30. 50. 100. Okay. What I'm doing is I'm entering in the four scenarios a 14 PE10 level on every one. So I'm analyzing what happens for a retirement that begins at fair value valuations. My TIPS return, I'm gonna put in 2.5. It doesn't have to be TIPS paying 2.5. It could be certificates of deposit, or it could be TIPS, or it could be I bonds, some safe asset class. I'm basically saying I think I can earn 2.5 real in my non-stock money. As stock allocation, I'm going to say 60%. That's a little high for a retiree, but we're using fair value. So 60%, a high stock allocation is going to give you a good result. So I don't want to go lower than that. And for my year 30 percentage balance, I'm using 0% in scenario one. That's the conventional. 30% in scenario two. That gives me some slack. 50% in scenario three, that gives me a good bit of slack, and 100%, I lose none of my portfolio at the end of 30 years. And let's look at the difference. The safe withdrawal rate is the amount I can take out. Let's say it's $1 million portfolio, and I'll translate this into dollars. $1 million portfolio, and the amount I can take out every year with 95% confidence that this plan is going to succeed. Very interesting. With the all I'm all the only thing that changes here is the percentage balance. Okay, I hope you're looking at the calculator. This will make much more sense to you, be much clearer. So let's see how much of a difference. That's the only thing that varies. So I'm going to ignore the other factors. Let's see how much the safe withdrawal rate changes if I want to keep my entire portfolio versus taking a chance that the portfolio would be reduced to zero at the end of 30 years. Okay. With the conventional assumption that I'm going to die broke, I call that the die broke assumption. The safe withdrawal rate, and this remember was fair value. Started at fair value, a P10 level. The in scenario one, 0% percentage balance. The safe withdrawal rate is 5.3. I can take out $53,000 a year. Well, that's nice. But how much do I lose? How much? Say that I want a little slack. Say that I don't feel comfortable with that idea of dying broke. I want to have a little slack built in. Well, scenario two, I see what the number is. I see what the safe withdrawal rate is if I want to assume nothing worse than 30% of my portfolio remaining at the end of 30 years. Could be better than that, but it can't be worse. Well, that only takes off 3/10 of a percentage point on my safe withdrawal rate. The safe withdrawal rate drops from 5.3 down to 5.0. Not as good, but I didn't really lose all that much. Instead of taking out $53,000, I can only take out $50,000. Now, it's up to your personal judgment call as to whether it's worth it or not, you know. But I think an argument could be made. It's better to take out $50,000 and have that slack built in. Now, how about if I go to 50%? I'm even, you know, good, not a little bit of slack, a good bit of slack. Well, that drops the safe withdrawal rate down to 4.8. $48,000 a year I can take out. And what if I want 100%? I don't want to lose a dime. I want to leave $1 million to my kids or to charity when I die. Well, that safe withdrawal rate is 4.2. I can take out $42,000. So instead of having a zero, the possibility of a zero balance, I've made the worst case scenario a portfolio balance equal to what I started with. I've increased the portfolio balance assumption $1 million. And in terms of the withdrawal rate, I only had to reduce the withdrawal rate by, instead of $42,000 a year, it's $53,000. I reduced it by $11,000 a year. $11,000 a year reduction in withdrawal allows me $1 million more in my portfolio at the end of 30 years. Now, again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying you're better to do that. I think there are different circumstances. Some circumstances where you really should have that 100% portfolio balance. Maybe it's really important to you to leave something to your kids, or it's really important to you to leave something to charity. Or if you barely have enough for retirement, 0% might really be the right way for you to go. To do anything else would mean to be delaying your retirement too much, and you hate your job, and you know, maybe you're not feeling well, you know, and you got to get that retirement started. 0% balance makes all the sense in the world. And there's other cases where it would be something between those. I think my inclination would be to go something between. I think I'd like a 50% portfolio balance, because that gives me slack. And it gives me a good chance I'm going to be able to leave something to my kids or charities. But you know, it's not. I think insisting on 100% comes with a bigger price tag. You know, when you insist on 100%, you reduce the takeout by, you know, what did I say it was? $11,000 a year. That's significant. Whereas say you went to 30%, 30% portfolio balance, you only reduce your takeout by $3,000 instead of $53,000. It's $50,000. So that's not that big a price. So I think that's what I would go with, maybe 30% or 50% portfolio balance. So different circumstances call for different retirement plans. The beauty of this calculator, if I have to say so myself, is that it lets you test these things out, lets you try the different possibilities. So the way you work your calculator is you enter all these boxes. You've essentially got 16 boxes. If you only want to know one scenario, well, you only have to fill in 4 boxes. You don't have to fill them all in, okay? They're there if you want them, but you only have to fill in one scenario. The 4 are there if you want to compare things. You only have to fill in 1, which means you have to fill in 4 boxes. And if you want, you can go with the default results. You know, you can go with the 2.0 tips return, the 80% stock allocation, the 0 portfolio balance. And those are defaults, and you don't have to enter anything. But you pretty much have to enter the P10 value. You've got to enter the P10 value that you think is going to apply the day your retirement begins. Unless one of the P10 values that just happens to be the default is the one that you're interested in looking at. Now, probably the only thing that I still have time for is just to go over these default results briefly, and make some comments about what they say. What they say is dramatic. Remember, the conventional investing wisdom of today, the dominant model of today, 90% of today's investment quote-unquote experts are going to tell you that the safe withdrawal rate's always 4%. I won't say that most are going to say that these numbers are wrong, because that's not true. I think most would acknowledge, most experts of today would acknowledge that these numbers are correct, but they don't want to tell you these numbers. Because if you find out these numbers, if too many people find out, the buy and hold model fails, collapses, because it's so dangerous and it's hurt so many people. But I don't think many people would say these numbers are wrong. John Graney will say they're wrong. Mel Lindauer will say they're wrong. But I don't think there are too many responsible people who would say they are wrong. I don't think John Bogle would say they were wrong. I don't think Bill Bernstein would say they're wrong. Bill Bernstein calculated the safe withdrawal rate in his book, and he came to the same number as John and I, 2% at the top of the bubble. So I don't think they would say it was wrong. And I've had financial planners endorse this calculator. Michael Kitsis is one, widely published, widely known expert. Couple others. So I don't think they'd say it was wrong, but they're not going to advertise that they got the numbers wrong at this point. I think that's unfortunate. I think it's sad. I think it's scandalous, but that's where it stands. And obviously I would like to have the calculator discussed, because while I think it's right, there's always that possibility that we got something wrong. John Walter Russell and I are not God. And the more people that look at the calculator, the more confidence I can have in it. So I want to have everybody in the world look at it, find out if there's any holes. So I hope you'll do what you can to make that happen. Let your friends know about this calculator and tell them, if they've got a blog, say, look, why don't you speak out in favor of honest posting? Because if we allow honest posting, we can find out if there are any holes in Rob's calculator. I really want to check that out. All right, but the amazing thing is, look at the default results. Those are the results that come up before you enter any numbers into the calculator, the default results. And look down that left-hand column. The left-hand column is the safe withdrawal rate column. That's the number, the takeout percentage that works with 95% confidence. We can't get any higher than that. That's what we call safe. The last thing, before I do that, I should just say what these phrases mean. We tell you the safe withdrawal rate in one column, that's 95%. Confidence. We tell you reasonably safe is 80% confidence. Likely success is 50% confidence. Likely failure is 20% confidence that number will work. Almost certain failure is only 5% confidence. So if you use the almost certain failure number, the chances are 95% that your retirement is going to fail. It's almost certain to fail. Now, and if you really want to be shocked, look at old scenario 4. And go under the likely failure column, and what you'll see, scenario 4 tells you what the safe withdrawal rate was at the top of the bubble, January 2000. Retirement, that began at January 2000. Look at the likely failure number, 4.1. So at the top of the bubble, January 2000, the people who advocate buy and hold were telling you, hey, you could take out 4%, that's safe. John Graney's study says 100% safe. That's what he claims, 100% safe. What's the reality? The reality is a 4% withdrawal rate was likely failure. Only a 20% chance that retirement's going to survive. Now, it's actually not 20. It's actually 30. But the number 4.1, I'm rounding off, 4.1 has a 20% chance of survival, 4.1. So if you drop, if you actually looked at 4, there is no 4 on this chart. You'd have to, plug in the numbers. But 3.2 has a 50% chance of working for 30 years. 4.1 has only a 20%. 4.0, it was about 30%. So the number that they were saying was safe, 100% safe, has only a 3 in 10 chance of working out. That's shocking. And of course, I didn't know that until I did the numbers. Many people are shocked, and rightfully so. A lot of people say, the common response I get is, oh, Rob, yeah, sure, valuations matter, but, come on, don't make such a big fuss. Well, the reason I make a fuss is because I sat down and checked the numbers. I mean, really, John did it. I asked him to, and he did it. Out of kindness of his heart. He's a very generous man. When you look at the numbers, it's shocking. But if you don't look at the numbers, you're not shocked because you don't know. And I think that's the state of play for 90% of the investing experts of today. They've never looked at the numbers. They're afraid. They're afraid to look at the numbers. They don't want to know. You know? Yeah, the monkey with the hands over his eyes and the fingers in the ears. They don't want to know. So see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. See no valuations, hear no valuations, do no valuations. If you don't know the realities, it's a lot easier to spout this buy and hold gibberish. But if you know how much, you know, how far the numbers are off, how much human misery you're causing, I don't think these people could do what they do. But the another shocking thing is how much the safe withdrawal rate changes. You know, one of the things you'll hear from the people defend, quote-unquote defending the old-school studies, they'll say, oh, the old-school studies give you a rule of thumb. Yeah. The numbers aren't accurate. I mean, okay, you know, you make a good point, but it's a rule of thumb, Rob. Give it a, you know, what's a big fuss? Well, look at the so-called rule of thumb. Look at scenario four, which is the valuation level that applied in January 2000, and then look at scenario one, which is the valuation level that applied in 1982. Scenario four, the safe withdrawal rate is 2%. Scenario one, the safe withdrawal rate is 9%. So for somebody with a $1 million portfolio who retired in January 2000 can take out only $20,000 a year in safety. But somebody who retired in 1982 could take out $90,000 for 30 years in a row. $70,000 difference 30 years in a row. Not one time. We're not saying one time you get to take out $90,000. We're saying you can take it out every year for 30 years. That's the difference that valuations makes. It's a huge difference. And if you're not counting valuations in your strategic planning, you don't know what you're doing. I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult people, but I truly believe that's the situation. Any financial planner who doesn't understand that valuations don't affect long-term returns doesn't understand the ABCs of stock investing. He doesn't understand what he's doing. People get mad when I say these kind of things, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do, you know? Either valuations matter or they don't. And if they matter, we have to get about the business of figuring out how much they matter. And when you look at the numbers, it just blows your socks off. Now, I find it hard to believe because, and this is important, this first number, the scenario one, is important. We're now at a P10 level of 20. But the odds are we have another stock crash coming that's going to bring us down to a P10 level of 7 or 8, something in that neighborhood. If we go down to 8, the safe withdrawal rate is going to go up to 9. So there's a question here. Can it really be true that the safe withdrawal rate could go as high as 9%? I'm not going to read it all now because I don't have the time, but I wrote a blog entry on that question because I find the question just mind-blowing. Could there really be circumstances in which you could have a $1 million portfolio and take out $90,000 a year and be 95% safe? And the conclusion I came to is yes. And we may be getting there in a couple of years. And again, it's mind-blowing. But the logic, it does make sense logically, because what's happening is you have a pile of money. Okay, you're calling it your quote-unquote portfolio. But the question is, how much of that money is stocks and how much is cotton candy nothingness? What you need to ask yourself when you have a portfolio of stocks is, this is the change from buy and hold to rational. How much of what you hold is real? How much of what you hold has staying power? The buy and hold assumption is that it's all real. Just count, you know, whatever the number is on the last page of your portfolio statement, those are the resources you have access to, you have a claim to. The rational model says no. In a nominal sense, that's obviously true. If you cash in your stocks, you will get the number, you know, on the last page of your portfolio statement, the bottom. But in a long-term sense, no. In a long-term sense, think about what the word overvaluation means. Overvaluation means improperly priced. So when the number that you're using is an overvalued number, it's not real. And the 9% safe withdrawal rate, I'm sorry, the 2% safe withdrawal rate is the number that applied when stocks were three times fair value. So what was happening there is you're trying to determine the safe withdrawal rate for a $1 million portfolio. But the reality is you don't have a $1 million portfolio. What you have when the P10 level is 44 is a portfolio of roughly $350,000, one third of a million, $330,000, if you want to be more accurate, or $333,000. You don't have anywhere close to a million. That's why the safe withdrawal rate, as applied to the $1 million figure, has to be dramatically less. On the other hand, when you've got a when the P10 level is 7, half of fair value, if your portfolio statement says you've got a million, you don't really have a million. What you really have is 2 million. Your portfolio is valued at only half of its real value. So when you calculate the safe withdrawal rate, obviously that safe withdrawal rate should be roughly double what the standard safe withdrawal rate would be. The standard safe withdrawal rate, the safe withdrawal rate that applies at a 14P10 level fair value, is 5%. So at when the safe withdrawal rate is ha when the valuation level is half of fair value, you would expect roughly double that. So sure enough, the withdrawal rate is 9%, almost 10, not quite 10, but almost. And when you go to three times fair value, it's almost you have to drop it by almost a third from the fair value safe withdrawal rate. It's down to 2% instead of 5. So the safe withdrawal rate is a number that varies. I think that gives you the basics. That gives you enough to start working with the calculator. If you get interested in it, I mean, a couple things. Certainly read that article on strategies. The article is there at the bottom of the page where the calculator is. There's a link to it. It's called Using the Risk Evaluator to Develop Retirement Planning Strategies. And I think I'd wanted to discuss that in this podcast, but I just don't have time. But there's a lot of good strategic ideas discussed there. And there's lots more we could do. I'd like to do a follow-up, but I'd like to have more people participate because I don't want it to be Rob Bennett standing on a stage, lecturing people. Please tell your friends about the calculator. Anything you can do to get the word out will not only be helping me, it will be helping, I mean, I don't want to sound over dramatic, but it's helping the entire US economy because the errors of the past of the buy and hold model, I believe, and I think there's a lot of evidence for this, are the primary cause of the economic crisis. And if we can get the word out and open up the internet to honest posting on safe withdrawal rates and other important investment topics, we can pull out of this economic crisis. And that would be a good thing because the alternative is another stock crash in the not too distant future, which the odds are not small that we could be seeing the second Great Depression. So, very, very black scenario. So, I think it'd be a good thing if we could spread the word on the calculator. Any help you can offer, I'm grateful. Play with the numbers. Don't use the calculator. Don't say, "Oh, Rob's a nice guy. I'm going to stake my retirement on it." No. Think critically about it. Look to my critics. Put my name in a Google search. See who criticizes and see if they make any reasonable arguments. Go to Bogleheads. Go to Vanguard Diehards. Go to Early Retirement Forum. Go to Motley Fool and ask your friends, what do you think of this? Does it make sense? That's how we learn. We need to be doing a lot more of that. I intended to be doing that from the first day, and unfortunately, abusive posters have shut down a lot of those efforts. But we all need to do it. We all need to do it. So, in summary, I believe that the work John and I did, and hundreds, it wasn't just John and I. John did the numbers work. I, came up with the snazzy titles. Hundreds of people contributed useful insights. Hundreds. Thousands expressed the desire that honest posting be permitted. So it was very much a community effort. I don't want to, I try to say that as often as I can because it's important. And I believe we've changed the history of investing. I believe that that title stands up. Retirement Calculator Smashes Safe Withdrawal Rate Myths. The safe withdrawal rate is not what we once thought it was. The safe withdrawal rate is not a stable number. It's a number that varies. And when you learn that, you learn that you have all sorts of options available to you that you did not have available to you before. In terms of planning your retirement, all kinds of wonderful strategic options open up to you so that you can retire more quickly and more safely and, more in a better informed way, knowing what choices are before you and making a, instead of having these choices thrust on you, excuse me, if you think about them beforehand, you can build them right into your retirement plan. And I think that's the way to go. It's the self-directed way to go. The last thing the calculator has is there's a graphic, color graphic where we have color bars. And I hope that that's self-explanatory. It lists the four scenarios and it shows you, with colors, and with a picture, the farther out you are on the chart, the safer the withdrawal rate is. So the white color on those color bars is the safe withdrawal rate. And when you look at scenario four, the white color does not go very far out. It only goes out to two. But when you look at scenario one, it goes all the way out to nine. And sometimes a picture tells a thousand words. You look at that chart and you say, wow, was there really a time when people calculated safe withdrawal rates without factoring in valuations? And when it hits you, what we've done to ourselves with this foolishness, it'll make you cry. But I don't want you to cry. What I want you to do is cry for a little bit and then come back and say, say, hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm crying. Yes, it is sad, but wait a minute. There are opportunities here. We could change the history of investing. We could bring in the golden age of investing if we could get this word out to people. So that's the goal. The goal is to get the word out and get all our friends and neighbors and fellow community members working together to learn more and more and more and more about how stock investing works in the real world. That's the idea of the Great Debate. Good luck with your investing strategies. Take care.